You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now, excited for this one, is David West, NBA champion. And member of the Golden State Warriors, of course. David, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks, God. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you, and I'm sure when you hear the introduction, NBA champion, that's got to sound pretty good. Have you gotten used to that yet?
Not quite. It still feels pretty good. You know, just been enjoying the summer, enjoying a pretty good season that we had.
And you left Indiana because you went to San Antonio to chase that championship. And so you leave San Antonio, you go to Warriors, and you finally get it. What was the difference between those other stops and this last one here with the Warriors and finally attaining that goal?
Well, I think it was the two things. The right collection of talent. Obviously having a super talented team put us in position. And then, guys not believing that it was just talent alone that was going to get us there. It was just that consistent approach every single day. The guys having their right focus and everybody's, pushing toward the same goal, and that's winning every single game that we have an opportunity to win. And then ultimately, we were focused on the championship from day one.
You decided to come back on a one-year deal. You said that this is probably going to be your last year. What were some of the thoughts that you had that led to the decision to come back for one more?
Right at the end of the season, I talked to Steve a little bit, and he just talked to me about, that transition, that thought process of going into retirement. And he was like, when you know you're done, like there's no question. And so, I had such a good taste in my mouth from, the championship run and, the guys, Draymond was, been in my ear all year about just coming back. So, it just felt good. It felt like the right thing to do. I still feel alive, feel like I can contribute. And obviously feel, we've got a great group and we're bringing back just about everybody. So, it felt like it was the right thing to do, give it one more shot, see what happens after this year.
You mentioned Steve Kerr, your head coach, and he was absent, at least on the court, because of his health issues. Mike Brown sat in that chair. What grade would you give Mike Brown as far as the job he did steering you guys when Steve was out?
Oh, man, I'd give Mike, I guess, the best grade possible. Mike's a great basketball mind, obviously, and he's had some success, some ups and downs in his coaching career. But, the best thing he did was he just came in and he sort of stuck to what we had been doing. He added his twist here and there, but, he got to be himself. But obviously, it was just about the group, and he knew the strength of the group. He just did a good job of, maintaining and keeping our focus throughout the stretches when he was in charge.
Gio and Jones with David West, NBA champion and Golden State Warrior, across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I know it's going to be a tough question to answer because you're not going to have to go through this having won the title, but if it didn't work out for you and you didn't get that title and you headed into retirement without it, would that have been a really tough thing to live with, or do you think you would have been at peace with your career regardless?
That's something that I thought about a little bit. If we didn't win, it was going to be one of those pills you got to swallow. But people know me. I'm motivated about winning and by being successful. And you know, that's what drives me. Not so much monetary gain, but you know, the idea, you know, the concept, what winning does to you as an individual. And that's what was most valuable to me. So I didn't. I mean, I thought about it some. Like, what if it doesn't work out? I knew going to San Antonio, you know, last year, we had a crack at it. You know, every, you know, just because you don't win the championship doesn't mean the team that you're on wasn't necessarily a championship caliber team. You know, you just didn't win it. So I knew that for me personally, just being in those kind of environments where the idea of a championship was all that the group was focused on, was what I needed to be in the latter stages of my career. And then ultimately winning, it just makes it, you know, just puts the icing on the cake or tops everything off. So,
all right, I'm a Spurs fan, and I'm watching Kawhi Leonard do his thing, and then your boy Zaza just decided to do the do-si-do with Kawhi's ankle. He goes out of the game. You're able to overcome a 23-point deficit. If Kawhi does not get hurt and he's able to maintain that healthiness and do his thing, would that series have gone a different way?
No.
Easy as that, huh?
Still would have swept him, huh?
Yeah. I think internally, you know, for us, we always said that, you know, the one game that we felt like we were most vulnerable against them would be game one.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like that was going to be, you know, their best opportunity to get one in that series. And then when they didn't get that one, I just thought that, you know, knowing that was in our mind from the beginning, once we were able to secure game one, you know, we just went through that series, you know, ready to, you know, to just get through it. But again, regardless of what happens, I had, you know, unbelievable faith in our group. You know, again, we've been focused all year. We really hadn't let down at all. Even when KD went out, I mean, we just kept chugging along. So, you know, I was very confident, you know, particularly after we weathered the storm early on in a few of those other series, like, you know, Portland came at us tough game one. We knew that game one was going to be tough.
Why did you think game one was going to be difficult versus the Spurs?
Well, one, because we had a bit of a break before the series before. And, you know, their style of play is just one of, you know, it's so system-driven that it almost takes you a game or two to, you know, to kind of settle in, to get used to it, to work against it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And so, you know, game one against them is usually when you're most vulnerable, because you have to get used to or sort of get reacquainted to how they play and the defensive intensity, obviously, and just the stifle, you know, the way that their defense and their system can stifle you on both sides of the ball.
Gio and Jones with David West across the country on CBS Sports Radio. You guys have a ton of superstars in your team, a lot of big personalities, and you seem to get along really well. How come the Cleveland Cavaliers can't figure that out?
I don't know. I know what works for us is we communicate. Draymond does a good job of just keeping the locker room wide open. Andre does too. You know, just any issues we're having, you know, Steve addresses them. We talk everything out, and everybody's on the same page. I don't think anybody in the group has, you know, those ulterior motives where they're looking and they're motivated by something other than winning. And I think that's one of the secrets that we have, once something that's stressful about our group.
This was your first installment of the Warriors-Cavaliers rivalry. Has the team, have they embraced this rivalry with Cleveland?
I don't know if they've embraced it. I know that the challenge is there. It seems that, you know, everybody just kind of wants to see what happens when we go head-to-head. You know, obviously, you know, it's because of the talent and obviously LeBron being on Cleveland. You know, it's just one of those things where we know that, you know, obviously we get to the finals, we get to the later stages in that playoff run, you know, chances are you're going to have to go through LeBron or go through Cleveland. And, you know, that's just the way things turned out this year. We've only played each other twice during the regular season, so obviously those games are highly anticipated, and a lot of folks are looking forward to those games in the regular season. But I think that, you know, obviously just the caliber of talent on both teams, the fact that those teams have been in the finals the last few years, just puts extra spotlight on the games.
You mentioned Draymond Green a couple times in a leadership role and being the guy who communicates. What is it about him and his communication that gets through to all you guys as well as it does?
Well, I mean, you know, he just says what he's feeling. And, you know, most of the time he's in the right vicinity in terms of messaging. I mean, sometimes, you know, because he's so emotional and he's so animated, sometimes what he's saying is actually getting lost in what people perceive as him, you know, being maybe over dramatic or overly emotional. But he's usually saying the right things. And obviously it just making sure that everybody's on the same page. If we're constantly talking about championship and constantly talking about winning and trying to be the best team possible, you know, that message is constantly reiterated throughout the year and in the locker room. He's one of the main guys that does that.
Now, watching you throughout your career, you are looked upon as a leader. Did you feel like you could jettison that label going over to the Warriors and you just wanted to fit in more so than step up and speak up?
Well, I mean, I'm still pretty outspoken. It's just, you know, the role that I had served in the teams prior to San Antonio is just it was even more of a leader, more than leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, it was sort of being the, you know, I don't know, I don't even know a word for it, but just sort of being Mr. Dependable or the guy that everybody leaned on for everything. Mm-hmm. And at times that gets exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a part of a group that maybe has more than just one or two. You know, you want five or six of those types of personalities in the locker room. And that was, you know, that's obviously what I was looking for and wanted to be comfortable in. But there's still, you know, obviously my experience being in the NBA for now 15 years, having seen just about every twist and turn, guys still come to me and ask me questions about this, that, and the third. And I just try to be a voice of reason. I try to be consistent in my approach every single day and try to lead by example.
Which club should I go to tonight, David?
Which what?
I said, which club should I go to tonight, David? You've been to this city many times.
Where are you?
I'm joking.
I'm just going to give you an answer.
That's unbelievable.
I'm in Atlanta. I'm tired of Magic City. I'm tired of Magic City, dog.
David, before we let you go, I want to ask you this, because this NBA offseason has been crazy because everybody's trying to get to the point where you guys are, and it's going to be very difficult to do so. Have you seen any teams' moves that have caught your attention more than the others, whether it's Paul George to Oklahoma City or what the Rockets are doing? Is there one where you say, I mean, that team actually, they did something this offseason, not to say that you'd fear them, but maybe it caught your attention a little bit?
I would say Minnesota. Grabbing you know, Jimmy Butler, I think that changes them tremendously. You know, obviously the two young guys, Wiggins and Towns, are phenomenal. They're up and coming players, but I think you know, Jimmy Butler sort of gives them a ruggedness and a toughness that I think, you know, they need, and it'll help that group's personality. So Minnesota is a team that I thought, you know, they really got better in terms of the West and the way they're going to position themselves.
All right, you contemplated retirement, but you're going to come back for one more season. But do you have an idea of what you're going to do once you hang up your sneakers?
You know, I'm going to do a little bit of both. I love coaching youth basketball. Like, I'm huge into, like, the amateur basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And just having an impact on young people. So I'm definitely going to do that. And then I've got, you know, obviously some other business interests and things that we're working on. mainly in renewable energy that I'm going to focus on. But I just want to get through this year, you know, try to go out with another bang, you know, try to be as productive as I possibly can at 37 and hope to end this thing right.
All right. Well, when we're traveling around, we'll give you a call to find out the points of interest.
All right. That'll work.
Thanks, David. Congratulations again. Enjoy the offseason.
All right. Thanks, man.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.